Thank you, Jesus. Take us back now, if you would, to those days just before you came into this world. We often get a family album. We'll look back and we reminisce and we think of what we used to look like or think of how times used to be. Lord, help us to travel back and listen to the two voices that they speak to us from the pages of your Bible. We listen to the voices today of Joseph and Mary, highly called by you because they were devout and righteous, but Jesus, they were both probably scared to death of what was about to take place. Wasn't quite sure what to do, but they knew enough to step out in faith. Lord, that's a lesson for us today. We don't always know the complete journey ahead, but we do know enough to take the next step and another step and another step. So help us today, Jesus. Find us where we are in our walk of faith. Help us to take the next step in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm not sure where you are in your walk of faith, but we're going to travel together. If you need a Bible, James is going to get you one. Our stories found in the New Testament. We've been looking at a few people the last few weeks. We looked at the shepherds, and then we looked at the wise men. Last week we even looked at the innkeeper. And so today let's look at Joseph and Mary. Let's look at Joseph first as they welcome the baby Jesus into the world. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew. Taking a look at Joseph, Matthew chapter 1. I asked Joey to read some verses, and so you're going to listen to these. You might get to hear some of them twice. Joseph accepts Jesus as his son. I think this is so appropriate because at one time, I'm hoping all of us here, if you haven't, Jesus is still available. At one time, we didn't accept Jesus as our son. We accepted him as our Savior. But we have something in common with Joseph. So let's read this, and you're going to see some parallels and say, you know what, I feel like I'm part of this story. That's what I hope to do. Matthew chapter 1, 18 through 25. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Stop right there and just ask you. We can do several things with the Holy Spirit. We can grieve Him when we sin. We can squelch Him when He wants to lead us and we sort of fight back. On the positive side, we can be filled with Him and we can be led by Him. I think Mary right here is found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit anointed her. I don't know. Some people say, well, that's just so hard to imagine. I know the Holy Spirit lives in me and He's changed my life. So the Holy Spirit entered me when I accepted Jesus. I remember going to Radford College one time and a girl says, can I ask you something? I said, absolutely. She said, you're a Christian, aren't you? I thought, well, I hope it shows. Yes, I am. And she says, now, have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit? I said, I had the Holy Spirit enter me as soon as I asked Jesus to be my Savior. He's been there ever since. Oh, okay. What she was thinking, you get saved, it's almost like a trial period, probation. And if you do pretty good, then the Holy Spirit enters you. I got news for you. The Holy Spirit enters me as soon as I ask you. So there is no special baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't find that anywhere in the Bible. Now, I can be filled with the Holy Spirit, but you're not baptized. Or, you know, you're not selected out. Okay, now you get the baptism. Now you get the full effect. No, the Holy Spirit's there. Because Joseph, her husband, when he found out she was with child, was a righteous man, did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what he was told. Did what the angel had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. Something about Joseph then. Let me see what we can find about him. He had a couple things. I don't know if you want to take notes. Joey reminded you of that a minute ago. If you want to look up things in the Bible, that's great. If you want to take notes, or if you want to jot down just some reminders, again, in our bulletin, I put this. Joseph is at the top. He's going to have a dilemma. We're going to talk about his dilemma, his character, and his obedience. And then Mary's going to do, we're going to do the same thing for her. This is the couple that will raise Jesus. You thought you were scared when you had a child. They get to raise Jesus. I mean, just stop and think. We think this is sometimes we're not careful. We take it for granted. Or is it a make-believe story, fairy tale? No, it's a real deal. When Samson, the strongest man in the world, was born, his dad, Manoah there, his dad said, "Lord, I don't know how to raise him. Help me." Joey, can you identify with that?
Absolutely.
Joey's testimony, I should let him give it, but Joey said when Jeremiah was born, a few days after that, he was sitting there looking at Jeremiah and said, "I can't raise him. Not on my own power, not by my own strength, so here's what I'll do." He said his knees hit the floor, and he said, "God, you got to change me so I can raise him." And bottom line, "Lord, I'm all yours." He said, "Well, is that asking Jesus to save you?" "Yes." There is no secret formula for asking Jesus to save you. The thief on the cross said two words. What did he say? "Remember me." "You got it." "Okay." By the way, the thief on the cross was not baptized. Just so I tell you that. You don't have to be baptized to be saved. You got to be doused in grace. That's what you got to do. Joey's knees hits the floor and he says, "Lord, in essence, save me. Make me a dad that can raise him." So a child played a big part in Joey's being saved. A child's going to play a part in you being saved. Can you imagine Joseph saying, "I can't raise him"? Let's look at the human side of Joseph. He's got a dilemma. His dilemma is this. Joseph could do one of three things when he found out about Mary and the baby. He could marry her quickly, even though the baby wasn't his. All right, we'll get married. Somebody's got to be a dad. You ever think couples get married just because to give the child a set of parents? Sometimes, sure. Let's just hurry and do this. I hope there's some love involved there. Marry her quickly. He could do this. He could publicly divorce Mary as an adulteress, in which case, going to the law there, Moses, she'd be stoned to death. Or he could do this. He could have the marriage contract set aside quietly, and while Mary went off to have her baby elsewhere. And again, hands off. I'm not messing with this situation. Some people quietly go off to another area to have abortions. Mary did not have an abortion. I'm thankful for that. Was she married? Absolutely not. Because she had that baby. You ever think that Jesus is part God, part man? Because he was. That's true. You ever think of the God part of Jesus that can just call you to do anything and walk on water and heal the blind and feed the 5,000? What's the human part of Jesus? How about he hurts so much in the garden before the day before he dies, he prays and blood pops through the pores, which is a physical phenomenon, but it happens. He's just under a lot of weight. That's the part of it. You ever think he got hungry? You ever think he got mad? A little bit at you. Yep. And he never sinned. Don't get me wrong. You ever think he got pimples? Max Lucado wrote in one of his books, he said, Jesus grew up, voice changed, probably got a pimple or two. He said the woman wrote him and said, "My God didn't have pimples." I'm thinking, easy. But what she's saying, Jesus was perfect. Halo around him all the time. He walked around and nothing ever bothered him. And that's not true. Jesus had pimples. He had voice changed. You ever think he had a headache? I mean, he's human. Okay, change those things to Joseph. Joseph's human. What is one of the thoughts of running through his mind?
Wonder what the baby will look like. I know it won't look like me, because it's not mine. But no, but God said, well, is that thought Joseph's mind? Let me read this verse again. Look in Matthew. Verse 19, but Joseph, because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her publicly, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Is he going to marry her? Nope. Going to be the dad? Nope. What's he going to do? I'm going to choose the lesser of the three things. I'm going to divorce her, but I'm going to do it quietly so she won't be stoned to death, and I'm just going to set her aside because the baby's not mine. And then he has a visit. If you ever have problems, make sure you pray, because God will open your eyes and say, I know you don't want to do this, but this is what I'm telling you to do. It's called a revelation to me. I'm not talking about John the Baptist in the book of Revelation, but I have dreaded things sometimes. I have been a little fretful. And I pray, and God will change me so much, I'm looking forward to it. Now, how can he do that? I didn't even want to do this yesterday. This ain't so bad. Hey. All right. Yeah, this will be good. In the world, we go, what is wrong with you? Nothing wrong with me. I just got more of God in me than I do me. You see, Holy Spirit never leaves me. Holy Spirit's in my heart. But when the Holy Spirit is right here and it's a lot of me, I call that in the flesh, I'll say things, do things, think things that I shouldn't. But when I let me go low, and John the Baptist had that down to an art, he said to the Lord, I must decrease and he must increase. And when I let him increase, my fears become faith. What did fear propel Peter to do? Get out of the boat. I'm scared. Oh, the ghost. No, it's me. It's Jesus. Don't be afraid. If it's you, tell me to come to you. Come on. Wish you hadn't said that. Okay. First step out of that boat was what? I see you. Back down to the worries because he saw the baby. He was doing so good. Joseph, I have a feeling he's going to hit his knees too. He's going to pray and say, here comes his advice from on high. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Don't divorce her. Don't put her away secretly. Now here's Joseph. Let's take him human. And he looks up and says, God, this woman's got a child. This woman. He loves Mary. You ever notice when you're in trouble, it's this woman, you know. Dad comes home and says, where's the boy? You mean your son? Yeah, he's in trouble. I wonder if he looks up and says, God, can I just divorce Mary? Do you want me to have her stoned? Do you want me to marry her just to help her out? Do you want me to have the marriage set aside? What do you want me to do? God says, I want you to marry her. What? I want you to marry her, and you keep loving her, and I'm going to turn the world upside down if you just do that. God, maybe you didn't hear me. You ever do this? You pray until you think you're going to hear what you want to hear. That's not... God, let me ask you again. Y'all did this when you were little kids. You did this with your parents. Daddy, can I go do this? Well, go ask your mom. Mom, can I do this? Well, go ask your dad. He already said I could. He didn't say that.
If it's all right with you.
Yeah. Dad's if it's all right with you, it's all right with him. And yeah, okay, no. It's not. So he's got to dig deep into his character now. God, I want to do what's right. He says, well, then what's right is this. Joseph could have chose to condemn. He instead chose to show mercy to Mary. Joseph just now acted to you like God does to me and you. God could condemn you, Terrell, as soon as you mess up. And instead he says, let me show you mercy. And some of us even go, what are you doing? I don't deserve this. And he says, I know. That's why it's called grace. Joseph, let's just pretend. What do you want me to do? I'm at wit's end. I was going to marry this girl with white picket fence. It's all great. A dog. I don't, what are we doing? This woman's got a baby and it's not mine. I want you to marry her. You didn't hear me. This woman's got a baby and it's not mine. I want you to marry her. Maybe you didn't hear me, God. And then God reminds Joseph of the verses, my ear is not too deaf, my arm is not too short. I'm hearing you. I want you to go marry her. Matter of fact, God says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Joseph, you do what you think right. All right. Let's see. She's a young woman. Some people think she's a young 14. She's a young, barely middle schooler out of early high school. She needs mercy. She needs grace. She needs somebody to be her what? Her friend, or maybe even almost like her savior. I'm going to save her life, huh? God says, what do you want to do? I hate it when you do that. Because you're saying, do what I would want you to do to me. What would I do to you if you mess up? You'd show me mercy. You'd show her mercy. I want you to marry her. I want you to show her mercy. Okay. How was that in Joseph's character? Because Joseph was a devout and righteous man. Closer you are to God, you want to remember what's good things, what's wholesome and great. You don't want to remember. I put this picture up just to remind you. Two friends were walking down the road, as the story goes, and they were good friends. They got along. Picture like a Joseph and a Mary. They got along, and one of them got mad at the other one and turned around and slapped the other one in the face. And the one who was slapped reached down in the sand and he wrote, you hurt me. Not just physically, but what? You hurt me. And he goes down a little bit more, and the man who slapped him said, I don't know what to say. I'm sorry I did that before. Because you're a good friend to me. And I love you. He turned around and took a hammer and a chisel and chiseled that in stone to say, I love you. The man said, I don't understand. When I slapped you, you wrote in the sand. When I tell you I love you, you chisel it in stone. And he says, well, for all the wrongs people do, I want to have short memories of those. And when the wind blows, the sand soon erases the word that I wrote down and heard. But when you do something right, I want us to remember that and praise God for helping you to do what's right. Jesus wrote my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and he doesn't use an eraser. How about my sins? They're lawless acts, I'll remember no more. Their sins as far as east is to west. Their sins are in the sea of forgetfulness. Jesus does what that story illustrates. All my mess ups, he forgives. All my good things, he rewards me for. Here's your crown of righteousness, and here's your crown for the... So he takes account of all my good things and forgets all my bad things. What kind of God is that? Better still, what kind of friend is that? So Joseph, what do you want to do? I'm going to forgive her and show mercy. And I'm going to obey you. Joseph not only forgave Mary, he chose to obey God even when he did not understand all of what was happening. And that's me. I don't understand what's going on. He just knew he could take God at his word. What did the baby look like? Would it look like him? Who would the baby look like? Got to be a streak in Joseph that says, I hope that baby didn't have red hair. Because we had a neighbor with red hair. And maybe Mary's lying to me. Oh, no, she's not. No, she's not. You said, did Joseph actually think that? Well, how about you? What if somebody said something to you, and you say, I'm so good. I'm so... And all at once, that what they say changes what you would think. Paul wrote to some church folks, and he says everything was going fine. And then he left, and people move in and say, you can't be saved just by faith, by grace. You got to be circumcised. And they added in the Jewish law on them. It'd be like us, I bet you said you were saved. Have you been baptized? Well, not yet. Then you're not really saved. Are you spoken in tongues?
Next thing I know, she's a basket case the next time. I said, I don't even know if I'm saved. Well, you were doing fine. What's the deal? Somebody said, if I haven't spoken in tongues in my bathroom, I'm not saved. Paul told that church, he said, you did run well. What does hinder you? In our language, you were running great. What happened? Well, so-and-so said I wasn't saved. So you going to believe them or God?
I'm going to believe them.
Okay, that's a bad thing to do. Jesus says, I'll never leave you nor what? Don't you dare tell me my God's gone. Who's the ultimate liar? Satan. Satan used to tell me, you can't be saved. I've already gotten saved. Well, God won't forgive you. He says, oh, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive me of my sin. Well, he won't forgive you but a few times because he's got a limit on that grace. Really? About 70 times 7. Well, he won't. Maybe he'll forgive you, but I'm running out of lies. What else can I tell him? He will save me. He'll keep me saved. He will forgive me no matter how many times I mess up. So he just tries to throw lies. So here's what Joseph had to keep remembering. I know God's in this. I don't know how to understand that baby's coming, but it's of God. And Satan whispers. Remember the sheepfold? I told you, Mark, remember the sheepfold? What a pretty picture. I thought about this week. I get a little bit scared at times. I'm like, Lord, can I do it? God says, come here. No, come here. Good shepherd picks me up, holds me. You okay? As long as I'm in your arms. So I'll tell you what, get in the sheepfold. I'll sit in the door, and I hear a wolf. I call him the worry wolf. Arthur, I'm going to get you. Jesus, yes, I am. The wolf's bothering me. He's a worry wolf. What are you going to do with him? Will you kill him? I'll take care of him for you. You know how you can better think of that? Look at me. Nothing, look at me. And I look into the face of Jesus, and suddenly know his voice is dim, and I don't hear him. The worry wolf. And Jesus won't let him in the sheepfold, so I'm just staying in the sheepfold. You ever have a tough day? Let's just pretend. Anybody ever have a tough day? You're in the sheepfold, set by Jesus, lean against the shepherd, lean so tight you can hear his heartbeat. Joseph is now probably having to do that. Jesus, I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to trust you. Trust that God has your best interest in mind and be willing to do what he asks of you, even if you don't understand why. Under obedience starts with having a heart that says yes to God. When my mama called me one night, she says, come down here, I need to see you and help your daddy. I jumped in the car, and Jimmy says, where are you going? Going to jail. What's wrong? I don't know. My mama just said, come on. Why? It's all it takes. I'm on. Hey, let's go. Jail's taking me about an hour. I made it that night, about 23 minutes. I didn't even have wings on the car. I'd already got it. And I thought, if the police pulled me over, I said, I'm going to see my daddy. I didn't know if he was going to make it or not. Daddy had had a heart attack. So I wanted to get there. All I needed was mama to say, do it. All you need to do is mama. Just like my mama tells me, God tells you. Christopher, would you show them? I want you to hear from Joseph. Joseph, if we could bring him here, maybe he would say something like, you know, here's what it's like. Can you give me a Joseph talk, Chris? Here's what Joseph is going to tell us. Chris does a good job of around saying the Chris does.
I reckon I've probably at least a dozen of these. Say my first one for my baby boy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not being named. At least the way I remember it. A long time ago. See, my boy, well, before he got born, I really didn't know who he was going to look like. It worried me. Well, see, his mama, she found out she was pregnant. I didn't want to embarrass her. The baby wasn't mine. I just thought I was going to let her go without making a fuss, you know. But then one night I had this dream, and there was an angel there. And that angel, he told me I shouldn't be scared to marry that woman because it was God's baby that Mary was having. You know, around here, we got a custom. When a baby gets born, the daddy, he puts that baby across his knees. And that's his way of telling everybody that that baby is his. Mm-hmm. Well, it took a while for my heart to kind of get used to the idea that that baby is just on loan to me. That he was special. But, I made room for him. Mm-hmm. When he got born, I did what any daddy would do. I put that boy on my knee. I gave him a name. I called him mine. And he grew up to a fine boy. Now, all these years later, well, you've probably heard about him. He's grown into a fine man. You know, every time I call one of these, I remember what that angel told me. That Mary's boy, my boy, and we're supposed to call him God with us. God with us. Yeah. I reckon that's all I've ever really needed to know. So if you ask me who my boy looks like, I'll tell you. He looks like God.
If you want to know who Jesus looks like, he looks like God. All right. I'm keeping Chris on his toes over here. Let's take a look at the other person in this story. And her name would be Mary. And there's Mary's story. It's found in Luke in the sixth month. So Joseph accepts Jesus as his son. Now Mary's going to accept to be the mother of Jesus. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Now, she's a God-fearing woman. She's highly favored. She's devout. She's righteous. She knows God, and yet she's greatly troubled. She's scared to death. But the angel said, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." So even those of us who find favor with God are still scared. "You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He'll be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel. "Since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." I wish we could just do that. I pray that we could do that in our life. I wish that God would always overshadow me so I don't say stuff and I don't do stuff and I don't think stuff that's out of the sin nature of me, but God would just overshadow me. "So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God, for nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." I don't know what verse hits you. I'm scared sometimes about things, and I finally get, God gives me peace, and then I say, "Okay, may it be to me as you've said. God, whatever you want to do in my life to receive glory is what you need to do." That's very tough. Her dilemma, Mary would be an outcast in society or at best a divorced teenager. Future's dashed on the rocks. And Mary could get married and be miserable if Joseph never does believe her. Okay, we'll get married, but fine, it's not my baby. Great, that's going to be a good marriage. And Mary's miserable. She could be publicly divorced as adulteress and risk being stoned to death. So she's, Lord, if I say yes to you, people are going to think I'm, you just fill in the blank. Mary could just have the baby and raise him on her own. Women do that today. They get pregnant for some reason, and the dad, like, my work here is done, and he escapes. And people grow up not even knowing their dad. What if Mary had to do that? But her character comes into play. Mary was chosen by God to have Jesus, yet humble enough to wonder why me. If you'd condense her words a minute ago, she's right saying, how can this be? It's almost like, why do you come to me? I love that. She is a strong, powerful, devout believer, and yet even she has humble spirit enough to say, why are you doing this? Someone put you on the spot. Have you ever wondered why me? Tell the truth. I do that both positively and negatively. I'll be out there walking Tori. I used to do this when we first planted the church, and I'd walk Tori down through there, and I'd just say, Lord, why are you calling me to plant a church? Because it'd be hard, but Lord, you can pick so many people better than me. I'm sitting in Liberty at 50 years old with people half my age. And they probably look at me, what are you doing in here? Same thing you're doing. I said, I'm just a slow learner. And then they would joke and they say, wow. Sort of step of faith, isn't it? Absolutely. Mary, you want to take a step of faith? You want to be known to the world as a harlot or an adulteress? Or a... God, that's might be my reputation, but me, you know the truth. Key thing right there, as long as you and God know the truth, that's what matters. And Mary says, I'm going to step out. And I know she got labeled. Her obedience. While Mary did not understand totally what was going on, she chose to obey God and follow His plan, even though it might cost her comfort, her future dreams. Lord, I had this in mind. This is what I wanted to do. Trust that God has your best interest in mind. Be willing to do what He asks of you, even if you don't understand why. Obedience starts with having a heart that says yes to God. I don't know what God's got in plan for you for the new year. I'm not sure. Wouldn't you love to? You say, when I get to heaven, I want to talk to some of these people. Well, I know this is not getting to heaven. But, Chris, let me hear from Mary. If I could pull Mary in today and I could say, Mary, can I talk to you a minute? And she says, yes. Were you scared? Oh, I was scared to death. Did you want to marry Joseph? I just felt bad. I love him. He loves me. But we're going to have a different kind of family because they wouldn't have relations even after they got married for a long time. And Jesus was born into the world and... This is Mary's testimony.
What child is this? I've asked myself this question some 30 years now, thirsty for the answer since the day he was born. What did I know then? Great and mighty things. I was just a girl fetching water that day. The stranger appeared to me with those curious words. Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. He must have seen the change in my face, the one I now know to be an angel. Do not be afraid, he said. You will be pregnant with God's Son. And he will be great, this child, forever and ever. And he will rescue his people. That was the exact moment. It was more than curiosity. I thirsted for more. I watched in silence as he was visited by shepherds and scholars, all with stories of angels and stars and grand pronouncements. to be his grandfather. And I'm awed. And I'm thirsty. Now, he's grown up, my boy. I watch him do and say curious and wondrous things. I hear him say, I am living water. Do I drink? Do I dare drink? Yes, I have been the favored one to see him grow into a man. What else will he do? Every step he takes seems to be filled with wonder. My baby, my boy, this man, my God. Yes. I look back on that night, some 30 years ago now, and I remember holding him close, so thankful to be his mother. Knowing this would be no ordinary child. I am still thirsty, yes. But I do believe I know where to find the water.
Will stay. Aunt Mary, question for you to consider today. Will you allow God to use you, though it might take you out of your comfort zone? I've been presented with that. And when you get saved, people are not going to look at you the same. Would you lose any friends, take off as you get saved? Absolutely. When you get saved and you think, well, people are going to look at me different? You just got to remember what matters is God, what God thinks. Will you follow God even though people might not understand? That's what Mary had to do. Will you follow God when you're scared and fearful? That's a tough one. Will you trust God for the future and let Him use you and bring glory to Himself? You know, when I go through trials, I got a wise sister. She's not here today, so I'll brag on her. And then he said, you know, God's going to accomplish through you things that wouldn't ordinarily get accomplished if you went on this road or something else. And I'm thinking, you're right. Okay. Because after all, if God says, if you do this, I'll get so much. But if you go on this road, but that's rocky. That's hurtful. But I'm going to put you on that one because I get more glory and I'll have more response from people and I'll... Who's the first one that ever did that? How about Jesus? God says, I'm going to send my own self. I'm going to send you down there. And Jesus comes down and becomes one of us. He spoke our language. Max writes of a story. It says this man was stayed home one night because he didn't want to go to the Christmas Eve thing. And so his wife and the kids go. And he's sitting in there like, you know. And all at once he hears something boom against the window and he goes out and it's like the little bird and the bird keeps running into the glass and he comes out there and says, don't do that, you'll hurt yourself. And he even runs over to the garage and opens up the doors and turns on the light and says, you know, come to the garage, it's warm, it's not dark in there. And the bird just kept going into the glass, and finally he looks and he's desperate. He knows the bird does that enough, he'll die. And he just can't say. He says, God, you got to help me. He drops to his knees. He says, if only I could speak quiet, a language that the bird would understand. Jesus speaks what we understand. That's why he became us. Well, you don't know what you're doing. You're way up there in heaven. You were born in a palace. No, he wasn't. He was born in a humble manger. Couldn't get much lower than a trough. And he's born out in the country, wrapped in clothes by two people that aren't even married, and I don't think he could have been much older. Jesus, you just don't understand. Well, I believe he does understand. And we talked about this earlier today, speaking with a few of the men, that we talked about, does God really get us? Well, he comes down to earth to be born in a humble manger, to grow up in a very humble lifestyle. And yet, this is what I like this, that God gives us this. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet who is without sin. And so because of that, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we might find mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We're going to receive mercy. We're going to find grace. I love that little line. It says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with us. You say, oh, Jesus, you just don't really understand. Mary, poor as she was, may we all say what Mary said. I am your servant. I don't understand this, but I'm gonna be obedient to you. He lives within you. Devotion I read this past week, thought I'd share it. The virgin birth is more, much more than a Christmas story. It's a picture of how close Christ will come to you. The first stop on his itinerary was a womb. He could have showed up in a palace. He could have been in a synagogue. He could have been a full-grown man. But now he chooses to grow up. Where will God go to touch the world? Look deep within Mary for an answer. Better still, look deep within yourself. What he did for Mary offers to us. He issues a Mary-level invitation to all his children. If you'll let me, I'll move in. Came into Mary's womb, he'll come into our heart. Proliferating throughout the scriptures is a proposition that leaves no doubt. Preposition in. Said proposition, the preposition in. The preposition in. Little tiny word. Jesus lives in his children, not around us, not close to us, lives in us. John was clear, those who obey his commands live in him, and he in them. Christ grew in Mary until he had come out, had to come out. Christ will grow in you until the same thing. Your speech will change, your actions will change, your decisions. Somebody say, man, something's different about you. Every place you live will be a Bethlehem. Every day you live will be a Christmas. You, like Mary, will deliver Christ into the world. God in us, Emmanuel. Have we sounded the depth of this promise? Would it be neat if we showed spiritually? Remember when you had a baby and somebody says, oh, you're showing. Would it be cool? Man, you're showing. What do you mean? Jesus is in you. I'm about to pop. When Jenny had Andy, he was 10 pounds, 11 and a half ounces. They thought he was twins. Really? He was born on Monday and Tuesday, he's so big. No, Jenny was just like his, just, can you imagine somebody coming up, baby, you're showing. I know, I got Jesus in me now. When's it due? Oh, I don't know, not soon enough. You know, wouldn't it be cooler? And instead, somebody will say, I'm going to have a baby, and those are the kind that people, I don't even know your friends. Yeah, I made mine. Good, good. Now, I look bigger than you when I eat a big meal. I mean, it's like, I can't tell. Compare that spiritually. I didn't even know you were a Christian. So like one of those 7-Eleven Christians, you know. 7-Eleven is a convenience store. Some people are Christians like it. They're a Christian when it's convenient. If they're around people, they become a Christian. If they're around over these, they can tell the dirty jokes. If around us, it's like they're a chameleon. They just blend in wherever they are. What if Mary blended in? Oh no. She's sitting there rocking Jesus and she says, wouldn't you be scared? How can I raise him? What if he stubs his... Oh my goodness, are you okay? You scratch my knee, Mom. I'm okay. I healed it. No, that'd be good. Like sitting at the dinner table. Who wants to pray? Naturally, Jesus. Go ahead. Wonder if his brother James or Jude or ever looked over and says, you know what I'm thinking? Matter of fact, I do. Ooh. It's like, and it's not very nice. How'd you like to grow up with Jesus? Before he knows her thoughts. sees her actions. I got news for you. He does know your thoughts, and he does see your actions. He loves you anyway. Invite Jesus into your heart. We'd be sort of like Mary. We'll watch him grow. And we'll be around there and saying, wow, this is the world-saving baby. And that world-saving baby is in me now, and I'm going to be showing the world what it's like. You know, Jesus, pray with me. Dear Jesus, I love you. I thank you that you loved us first. Lord, help us picture right there around the stable, right there close to the manger. I wonder if we'd lean in with our finger and rub your cheek and say, there he is. He's finally here. Isaiah prophesied about him 700 years before. For unto us a child is given. Mary had to know the scriptures, and she said, I'm part of prophecy. And a virgin shall be with child. She's like, I'm that virgin. I'm reading about myself in the Bible. So Jesus here, Mary's seeing reality right in front of her. Jesus shows up. Lord, today I believe you're here. You speak to us. The Holy Spirit just touches our heart and pulls at us. And Lord, I just want us all to pause and remember that in the coldness and the dampness and the bleakness of a winter, I don't know if it was cold where Jesus was born. I don't know what that night was like, but perhaps if it's chilly, they're out in the cold. And angels and seraphim and cherubim show up and they sing, and Mary just glows and Joseph paces, and they don't know what to think. I still don't. How in the world you give up your son to come to earth to be born in a manger for us is beyond me. But I'm just glad you did. Lord, thanks for Jesus. And Jesus, thank you that you're willing to come down to earth. You left heaven to come to earth so that I can one day leave earth and go to heaven. You give me hope when I struggle. You give me hope when I'm faint. You increase my faith. So Jesus, help us all to remember that you want you to come into us. So like Emmanuel, God with us. Lord, I've got you. Help us to be found faithful. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen.